This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Now to one of the zeitgeisty stories I mentioned. We talk a lot on this show about technology, what tech companies are doing and making, and how they influence our lives. But we don't often hear what it feels like to live and work inside the Silicon Valley bubble. There is a remarkable essay, though, that details that experience. It's by Anna Weiner in the spring issue of N+1 magazine about her time working at a startup, and it's getting a lot of attention. We asked her to come on and read a little bit of it. Here she is.
Morale is down. We are making plenty of money, but the office is teeming with salespeople, well-groomed social animals with good posture and dress shoes, men who chuckle and smooth their hair back when they can't connect to our VPN. Their corner of the office is loud. Their desks are scattered with freebies from other startups, stickers and koozies and flash drives. We escape for drinks and fret about our company culture. Our culture is dying, we say gravely, apocalyptic profits all. What should we do about the culture? It's not just the salespeople, of course. It's never just the salespeople. Our culture has been splintering for months. Members of our core team have been shepherded into conference rooms by top-level executives who proceed to question our loyalty. They've noticed the sea change. They've noticed we don't seem as invested. We don't stick around for in-office happy hour anymore. We don't take new hires out for lunch on the company card. We're not hitting our KPIs. We're not serious about the OKRs. People keep using the word paranoid. Our primary investor has funded a direct competitor. This is what investors do, but it feels personal. Daddy still loves us, but he loves us less. We get ourselves out of the office and into a bar. We have more in common than our grievances, but we kick off by speculating about our job security, complaining about the bureaucratic double downs, casting blame for blocks and poor product decisions. We talk about our IPO like it's the deus ex machina coming down from on high to save us. Like it's an inevitability, like our stock options will lift us out of our existential dread, away from the collective anxiety that ebbs and flows. Realistically, we know it could be years before an IPO, if there's an IPO at all. We know in our hearts that money is a salve, not a solution. Still, we are hopeful. We reassure ourselves and one another that this is just a phase. Every startup has its growing pains. Eventually, we are drunk enough to change the subject, to remember our more private selves. The people we are on weekends, the people we were for years. Work has wedged its way into our identities, and the only way to maintain sanity is to maintain that we are the company is us. Whenever we see a stranger at the gym wearing a t-shirt with our logo on it, whenever we are mentioned on social media or on a client's blog, whenever we get a positive support ticket, we share it in the company chat room and we're proud, genuinely proud. But we see now that we've been swimming in the Kool-Aid and we're coming up for air. We were lucky and in thrall, and now we are bureaucrats punching at our computers, making other people, some kids, unfathomably rich. We throw our dead cigarettes on the sidewalk and grind them out under our toes. Phones are opened and taxis summoned. We gulp the dregs of our beers as cartoon cars approach on screen. 8 hours later, we'll be back in the office, slurping down coffee, running out for congealed breakfast sandwiches, tweaking mediocre scripts and writing half-hearted emails, throwing weary and knowing glances across the table. I skim recruiter emails and job listings like horoscopes, getting down to the perks. Competitive salary, dental and vision, 401k, free gym membership, catered lunch, bike storage, ski trips to Tahoe, offsites to Napa, summits in Vegas, beer on tap, craft beer on tap, kombucha on tap, wine tastings, whiskey Wednesdays, open bar Fridays, massage on site, yoga on site, pool table, ping pong robot, ball pit, game night, movie night, go-kart, zip line. Job listings are an excellent place to get sprayed with HR's idea of fun and a 23-year-old's idea of work-life balance. Sometimes I forget I'm not applying to summer camp. Customized setup, design your ultimate workstation with the latest hardware, change the world around you, help humanity thrive by enabling next. We work hard, we laugh hard, we give great high fives, we have engineers and top coders, top 20. We're not just another social web app. We're not just another project management tool. We're not just another payment processor. I get a haircut and start exploring.
For more on her story, Uncanny Valley, and her experiences in the tech world, we've got Anna now. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, Lizzie.
You know, when I first read this, I thought it was fiction, but it's not.
It is fictionalized. I'm curious why you thought it was fiction.
I guess because it almost felt too real to be real, if that makes any sense. So many of these details, maybe it's because I live on the East Coast and I'm not in the tech world, but I thought, oh my God, that must be exaggerated and attenuated to make this startup world seem even crazier than it is.
I wish that were the case. I think that there are instances where things are played down a little bit.
Like, what do you mean?
I heard that feedback specifically from women who said that they thought the piece was pretty gentle with regard to women in tech and sexism.
Yeah, you make the point about sexism, but it doesn't seem to overwhelm a lot of the other stuff in the tech industry. I mean, how much of that did you feel on an everyday basis?
I think that there are two varieties of sexism that I encountered. The first was the sort of cultural sexism in the office. Everyone has a story about a coworker who gets a little too friendly. And then the version that's a little bit more subtle, but definitely dangerous, which is the sexism that inhibits women from moving up in their careers.
Why did you decide to write this?
People who are not in this world don't understand what it is. And I think people are curious, but the mainstream representations of Silicon Valley do it sort of a disservice. I've read very little that makes this place seem human, while also, you know, speaking to the elements that deserve to be criticized and the elements that deserve to be celebrated. So I was trying to operate in that space.
Do you like working in tech?
I really do. I do still work in the tech industry. I work at another software company. I think that it is the industry that is best poised for social change. The industry I worked in before tech was the book publishing industry, which I have tremendous fondness for. But I was sort of looking around and not seeing a career path that was very exciting to me or that I thought I would be very good at. And I also was seeing a lot of my peers sort of burn out or look at their own career paths and say, this seems unsustainable financially, or I don't want to be answering someone else's phone for 7 years. The tech industry is sort of the foil for that. People are given a lot of agency here often at a very young age. I'm sounding like a booster. I'm actually very cynical about technology, but I do think that there is something to be said for this new style of work.
Well, I finished this piece, and to me, I came away feeling profoundly sad. And I wonder how that strikes you.
Well, I'm sorry that it made you profoundly sad. I've seen a lot of people say that it was depressing. I think that this is a document of a year and a half of my life where I was profoundly sad, and it was a really empty 18 months of my life. And I didn't really know that until I left. Work and identity really do become fused for a lot of people, and they did for me. And trying to find existential value in work is a really tricky gamble. I think some people do it. And for me, I'd moved across the country. I didn't know very many people out here. And I was giving everything to a job that I didn't really feel was giving back.
Anna Wiener, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
You can find a link to Anna Wiener's N+1 piece, Uncanny Valley, at marketplace.org.